Arizona Guy Pitty here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the Madman, Matt Russell.
Welcome to On the Menu Live, the most delicious hour on radio and the hottest in culinary and cocktail talk. And now, broadcasting live from another happy hour on 104.1 KQTH, here's your host, Matt Russell.
Fellow foodies, what a delicious Saturday afternoon it is here in glorious Southern Arizona, and let me be the very first to wish you all listeners a happy National Pizza Month. Yes, we are commencing our 31-day journey into the heart and the deliciousness of pizza, and we are beginning this celebration right here, right now, in this live broadcast from Rocco's Little Chicago on Broadway, just east of Tucson Boulevard. National Pizza Month, the red carpet has been rolled out for us, and sorry all you Cubs fans licking your Windy City woes, but there is a place where you can lick your wounds. You can come out here and enjoy and be surrounded by your fellow Chicagolanders, because Rocco's Little Chicago is a slice of the Midwest, and Rocco does it better than nobody else. So come on down here and join us for our live broadcast. Now here we go. I have a very serious decision to make every Saturday when it comes to assigning the coveted celebrity co-host spot. These are very intentional decisions. These are very thoughtful decisions. And we've got an event coming up next week that really has made international news. And for wonderful fans of film, there is a man at the center of all the action. He is our celebrity co-host for the full hour. He's an artist. He is a historic theater consultant. He's a member of the Broadcast Film Critics Association. He writes, he markets, he promotes award-winning films. He slices, he dices, and he's the director of Film Fest Tucson, everybody. Herb Stratford is here. Yes. Welcome to On the Menu Live, brother.
Well, thank you. That's such a subdued introduction. I'm just, I'm not used to that kind of enthusiasm. Thanks, Matt.
I'm obviously food and beverage get my heart racing.
Yes.
This is what we do. I will go ahead and commence the hour drinking lovely for this time of the year. This is the Oktoberfest from our good friends down at Dillinger Brewing Company. Are you just as fascinated and curious and blessed as I am when you think about what has happened in the craft beer community here in Southern Arizona?
It's really remarkable, and it's even it's a nationwide thing. We've got a documentary this year called Brewmaster, and it actually talks about the fact that I think it's every day five or six microbreweries open up every day in the United States. It's insane.
I mean, there'll probably be one or two open before we're done.
Yes.
With this hour.
Yeah.
But Film Fest Tucson, it's you're in your third year. We're going to be diving deep into some of the food and beverage films that you're going to be screening. We're going to be talking that about that here in a little bit. But what are you grooving on these days, Herb Stratford? When you're thinking about local, and I know you always support local.
Absolutely.
It's at the heart of whatever that you do. Find anything fascinating on the local food and beverage scene these days?
Well, I got to say, I know it's pizza month, but I want to just kind of do a shout-out because I've been really doing a deep dive on tacos. So I've been doing a lot of Boca tacos.
Beautiful.
Tacos at the Garage, been doing that.
Right
so,
on.
You know, it's just, it's really great because there's so many great options. And, of course, you know, we go up to Blanco and, I mean, everything. Sam Fox does a great job. So, yeah, a lot of tacos, but that's just, you know, not just Tuesdays. Tacos aren't just for Tuesdays anymore, right?
It's a seven-day experience.
That's right.
I'm glad you talked about Boca because, you know, Maria's a sponsor of this show, let me just say. And, you know, where there, speaking of films, wherever there's a film crew from a national or international food program, they always seem to come to Tucson, and they always end up on Maria Maison's doorstep at Boca.
They do, absolutely. Well, she's got a reputation. It's remarkable. And it's not just the exotic tacos. It's everything they do. They do it so well. And I love that 4th Avenue location because it's blocks from my house. We walked down there last night. It was perfect.
So much fun. Now, on the libation side, Herb Stratford, if you are a fan, an enthusiast of the foldable food that is a taco, do you like to play in the wonderful world of agave, of tequila, mezcals, etc.?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny you should mention that because we've actually got a tequila documentary. So that was a nice segue there, Matt. Yeah. You know, it's really remarkable. We've had a great chance this year. We're partnering with the Hotel Congress and the Agave Heritage Festival, which, of course, takes place every spring. And they're helping us bring this great agave documentary to Film Fest Tucson. And so we are going to be doing some agave, some tequila tastings during the festival, so you can't go wrong. But yeah, it's great stuff.
That's all you need to say. I'll be there.
Yeah.
Now let's take a step back. So this is the third annual Film Fest Tucson. I was having a cigar with our mutual friend Michael Guyman a few nights ago, and we were both kind of telling stories about how big this event has become year over year, and this is the third year, biggest and best yet.
It is, absolutely. This is something that we took a look around and we said, you know, there's a couple of other festivals going on, but really not the kind of thing that we wanted to do. So we launched this thing, and we're excited. We doubled the number of screening venues, and we added another dozen films, a lot more partners, local partners, iconic brands like Whiskey Hamilton Distilleries,
right.
Whiskey Del Bac.
Sure.
It's just Sand Reckoner, all kinds of good stuff, Dragoon Brewery. So we're working with a lot of locals. We want to give people who are coming from out of town to the festival a taste of what Tucson is all about.
So this is all next weekend, or what are the dates?
Yes, it is. So it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the 11th, 12th, 13th, all downtown.
Okay, how does this work? So you've got movies screening all over the downtown area. I know you've got a couple of partners that we'll talk about here, but are you just... I mean, how do you navigate all of the films that are going to be there screening for everybody? Is it possible, Herb Stratford, to get like a punch card and work my way around? I mean, how many films are you going to be showing?
There's about 39 movies altogether, so you can't probably see them all. I'm probably the only one that's seen them all, that me and my committee that review stuff. But it's, we have a great program. It's actually in the October issue of Zocalo right now, and there's a screening grid that shows you what's playing, where it's playing, when it's playing. But, you know, that's a festival standard. You really have to make some difficult decisions, you know. You can't see everything, and that's the exciting thing. You can split up and meet back up again, and we like it because we're bringing folks in, like producers, directors, stars. So if you're seeing a film, a lot of times you can hear about it or dive a little bit deeper than you would if you were at the multiplex or at home.
You know, when you and your team sit down and make the very difficult decisions about what films are going to earn the coveted space at the Film Fest Tucson, that's no easy task in and of itself.
It's not, no, and as a critic, you mentioned before, I'm a film critic, so I see between 300 and 400 movies a year, and so that's a lot of films to see.
You see how many?
Between 300 and 400. Yeah. So, you know, I what I look for is I look for great stories, and we look for stories that maybe aren't going to come to town, and so then I share those with my team, and we find, you know, films that, you know, maybe aren't going to play the multiplex, they aren't going to play anywhere else there, and you might miss them. Maybe they pop up on VOD or something like that, but
right.
We want to give folks a chance to see these films and see them the way they should be seen, on a big screen in a room full of people in the dark.
No place I'd rather be. And maybe with some tequila as well.
Yes.
So is it one price for all? I mean, how does that work? You buy a ticket and you can kind of walk around?
So we've got, it's $10 a film, or you can buy a pass for $45 or a VIP pass, which gets you for $95, which gets you in the VIP tent, the wrap party, all that good stuff. And if you're VIP, you're getting food and you're getting all kinds of good stuff from local people like Charo Steak and Fleming's and Codijo Tequila, all kinds of great stuff.
Okay, so how much is the VIP package?
$95.
Under $100.
Yes.
Get you all the goodies,
yeah.
And access, if you can do it,
to everything.
All...
Yep.
Amazing. How do people get in touch with you and find you online? And most importantly, where can they get their tickets?
FilmFestTucson.com. It's all there. The schedule, ticket links, everything.
FilmFestTucson.com. It's all there. Tell them Herb Stratford sent you. Herb,
yes.
I don't want you to go away. You're going to be here for the entire hour because
we
are just getting started. When we come back, we're going to be talking about some of the food and beverage driven movies that you have dialed up for us all to experience here, and I think this is going to be some of the most fun that's happening at the third annual Film Fest Tucson. In the meantime, you're listening to On the Menu live on 104.1 KQTH. Stick around. We'll be right back.
When it comes to rustic cuisine, there's a promise and a purity that rustic stands for. And One Foothills Restaurant is putting rustic right at the center of the plate. Commoner & Co. Executive Chef Kyle Nottingham says rustic is about those dishes that take you back to a moment in time, a special place, a memory in the making, all what he calls pivotal parts of the dining experience. And Kyle's new seasonal menu is a true rustic reward, like his Southwest-inspired mac and cheese with local chorizo, house-made pasta, and a five-cheese bechamel, and his pan-seared rainbow trout with couscous and a blistered grape and herb salad. His New York strip has also become a quick hit with its fresh tomatillo salsa, as well as his shrimp gazpacho with cucumber, melon, and summer peppers. Commoner's new cocktail menu is also a celebration of the season with fresh, floral, and fragrant expressions of the spirits that we all love. Taste some summer today at Commoner & Co. on the southeast corner of Sunrise and Kolb. I'll see you there. Rise and shine, fellow foodies. It's time to wake up and start your day the right way. With a craft cocktail, of course. Wait, what? Yes, our friends at the Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro in Northwest Tucson are giving all of us a great reason to get out of bed in the morning with their Wake Up Happy Hour, Monday through Thursday from 7 to 10 a.m. Get happy with some small breakfast dishes and cocktails for only $6 each, like their sweet potato fries, topped with an egg and homemade sausage gravy, paired with the girls' award-winning 24-carat margarita. Oh, yeah, that's the one made with the real organic carrot juice. Talk about a hefty helping of happy. Choose from a range of dishes and signature cocktails and have fun making the most out of your morning hours at Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro. Voted best place to eat gluten-free on North Oracle Road, just south of Rudisill.
Hey, all you barbecue pitmasters out there in Arizona. This is Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and you're listening to On the Menu Live with my pal Matt Russell. It's the most delicious hour on radio.
Welcome back, fellow foodies. You're listening to On the Menu Live, and it is Matt Russell broadcasting live from Rocco's Little Chicago Pizzeria on Broadway, just a little bit east of Tucson Boulevard. We are commencing our 31-day journey into the heart of the pizza pie, because it is National Pizza Month. Of course, if Rocco DeGrazia would tell you, he says, I see no discernible difference between October and the other 11 months when it comes to pizza, because it's always National Pizza Month. And here's another guy who loves a great pizza himself. He's the director of Film Fest Tucson. Our celebrity co-host, Herb Stratford, is back with us. Herb, how's it going, man?
I love a good pizza. I'm with you, Rocco. There's the month. I don't know what this month is. That doesn't make any sense to me. Every day is pizza day.
All right, what about your topics of choice? When you roll into a pizza joint, what's the Herb Stratford go-to?
You know, it's always a pepperoni. I don't know. I've always been a pepperoni guy.
Classic.
So it's just, you know.
Absolutely classic.
I mean, I don't want to go too crazy. I'll throw a little onion on there. I'm good with that. You know, when I was in college, though, I got to say, I did do the pineapple and the Canadian bacon. That was a thing, but I don't know.
No,
I don't know if that.
Did.
I don't know now. I don't know if I could do that.
And we were getting along so well until now. I mean, it is a pilgrimage for me to raise a protest about pineapple on pizza. Perhaps we will ask the Oracle of Wisdom when he comes on the show in a little bit. But speaking of wisdom, you and your crew at Film Fest Tucson have been very wise, because you've curated a wonderful lineup of films at the Film Fest Tucson that is happening again next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Yes.
But three of the films of the nearly, 40, 50 that you're going to be showing are food and beverage forward.
And, you know, it's interesting because you never know what you're going to get. Every year I'm looking at a lot of films, and, you never know, are you going to get food and beverage films? Are you going to get, race car films? What are you going to get, right? This is an embarrassment of riches. We've got so many great films, and the fact that they lined up in the F&B experience is really great. So we're thrilled about this. The food film is actually called Chef Flynn, and this is a really remarkable story about a young boy, Flynn McGarry, and he basically at about age 8 decided he wanted to be a chef, and his parents were filmmakers, and so they started documenting his journey. It follows him from about age 8 to about age 18. He was doing pop-up things in his house and inviting neighbors, and then, he's getting calls to go to New York and open restaurants and be a guest chef. It's a remarkable story about somebody who's really, really good at what they do and just figured it out super early. I still don't know what I want to do with my life, and I'm 53.
That makes two of us.
Yeah.
He got his start, kind of foraging from his neighbor's backyards and just really finding the kind of flavors and ingredients that he loved to work with. It's called Chef Flynn, and that's going to be showing on Saturday.
Yep, that's Saturday night. That's the early movie, and then after that, Saturday night also is a movie called Brewmaster, and this movie debuted at South by Southwest a couple months ago. This is by director Doug Tirola, who also directed Hey Bartender, which was a documentary about the rise of the craft cocktail,
yes,
which you may or may not have seen.
Yes.
This follows a guy who's trying to pass the Master Cicerone exam, which of course is a Master Brewer exam. There's about 12 people in the country that have passed this exam, so it is a very difficult, it's like a Master Sommelier exam,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
And it also follows kind of the rise of the microbreweries in the country, and we were talking off air about how there's probably 3 or 4 breweries that open every day in America. So this is really interesting to take a look at the rise of the microbrewery in America and what that really means, and how it's opened up everybody to this world. It's not just a can of Budweiser anymore.
Yeah,
so.
And what a great time to actually show this. That Master Cicerone, I recently watched the movie Somm,
of
course must have found its way into your 400 films a year.
Absolutely.
That was one of the most intense films I've ever seen, chronicling the story of four guys that were pursuing their Master Somm, and I think there's only about 100 and maybe less than 200 worldwide. I was on the edge of my seat, and I can imagine the intensity kind of carries over to the beer side.
We actually did the world premiere of Somm up in Napa when I programmed that festival, and that's one of my favorite movies because I love when they're talking about the hints. They're like, oh, there's a hint of fresh cut garden hose, and I mean, just amazing tastes in that film. So Very wonderful. Yeah, so that's really exciting. We're doing that. We're having a little beer garden, and so it's really nice to kind of connect with Dragoon and Pueblo Vida and some of the local breweries on that. The other movie we didn't talk about Friday night is called Agave, Spirit of a Nation, and this is a documentary that is really, again, remarkable. One of the producers went to the U of A, and it's about the agave plant, and it's in Mexico, and it's filmed, beautifully filmed, and it just talks about the difference between demand and growth.
And, you know,
this is a thing. Now you've got George Clooney, and you've got all these folks with these custom, you know, kind of vanity labels, and there's only so much product that can actually be harvested.
Right.
So we're looking at the families that have been doing it for generations. You're looking at the harvesting, the bottling, and what it really means. And so that's a really beautiful film to see. That's the first one, Agave, Spirit of a Nation.
So much fun. There is no harder working professional in the F&B world than those hemadors that stab those agave plants out of the ground. I mean, they make it look easy, but a couple of friends of mine have actually gone down there to attempt to be an intern with a humidor and digging those out of the ground. It is like major aerobic activity. But this is when you think about the craft spirit movement, I think the story and the history behind agave and what that plant means to culture and economy, and the fact that we are very thirsty up here on this side of the border, and so it is kind of an interesting interplay between demand and supply, as you said, and that's happening on Friday the 12th. Now, you've got, as you said, all over downtown. Where are a lot of these films going to be shown?
So the great thing about these F&B movies is we've decided to make them free so everybody can come. So we have a 30-foot outdoor inflatable screen. We're actually closing Scott Street in front of the Scottish Rite, and we're doing the Agave movie and also a documentary about the National Science Fair on Friday night. And then the two movies, Chef Flynn and Brewmaster, are Saturday night in the Scottish Rite parking lot. So they're free. You can't miss it.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Okay, you need to go to www.filmfesttucson.com. The entire lineup is going to be there. How to buy tickets. Join the VIP group, because, look, for under $100, you're going to have to taste your way through all these wonderful goodies. You're actually going to be able to see, if you can, all of the films there. Do not miss these food and beverage films. We've sort of celebrated the wonderful culture of craft beer, the wonderful history of agave, and this little phenom out of the Midwest somewhere? Where was
I think it's on the West Coast. I think he's in San Francisco. Yeah.
Yeah, follow his story. It just enriches this whole culinary conversation we're having. But these three are must-not misses. Herb, thank you so much for spreading the good news. We're going to take another quick commercial break, and thanks to more sponsors. And when we come back, Herb, are you ready?
I am.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
For a seasoned veteran of the Rocco's landscape, Evan Stevens is going to be shaking and stirring right before our very eyes in this live broadcast from Rocco's Little Chicago. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, guys, summer is in full swing, which means that I'm in my pool day and night. And with all the entertaining I do, I can't afford to have a pool that doesn't sparkle. And that's why I've put my trust in Ambiance Pool Service. Locally owned and operated, Ambiance will keep your pool operating efficiently and effectively all the time. But they're so much more than weekly cleaning service. Their licensed technicians are my go-to team for equipment installation and repairs as well. In fact, they just installed a cool LED lighting system for me that keeps my pool parties going deep into the night. Put an end to that constant battle over contaminants once and for all, and call Ambiance Pool Service today, 425-9186. That's 425-9186. Or swim over to AmbiancePoolService.com to learn more. Imagine, if you will, the vibrant flavors of Spanish cuisine, the fresh aromatics of the mountains and valleys of Portugal, the warmth of an embrace by the Italian coastline. These images are brought to you by some of the most delicious extra virgin olive oils under the sun. And you can give your palate a passport to the olive capitals of the world by stopping into Alfonso's today. That's Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics. These ultra-fresh oils range from mild to robust, some with subtle notes of fruit, tomato, and grass, and others with notes of brine, herbs, and spice. And each of them is perfect for cooking, for finishing and drizzling, or simply enjoying neat with fresh baked bread. And then have some fun by sampling their portfolio of fused and infused oils, like one of my favorites, the Wild Mushroom and Sage. Pair your favorite oils with their more than 20 aged balsamic vinegars and let the party commence! Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics, on the southeast corner of River and Campbell and the southeast corner of Oracle and McGee. And don't forget, as Tom and Nancy Alfonso say, taste first and buy when the excitement becomes overwhelming. See what they're pouring today, fellow foodies, at AlfonsoOliveOil.com.
How's it going, Tucson? Jeff Morrow here from the Sandwich King on the Food Network. Thanks for listening to On the Menu Live with my buddy Matt Russell.
And welcome back, fellow foodies. You are listening to On the Menu Live, the most delicious hour on radio and the hottest in culinary and cocktail talk. We're coming to you live at the beginning of National Pizza Month from Rocco's Little Chicago on Broadway, just a little bit east of Tucson Boulevard. Making my way through a Dillinger Oktoberfest, celebrating the season with my very good friend, the director of Film Fest Tucson, Herb Stratford, getting ready for a huge weekend next weekend.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're getting there. We're almost ready for you.
Third annual. I'm shuddering to think what you and your team have planned for the fourth annual. But I know that you're well on your way. You're probably thinking two more years ahead, right?
We are, absolutely.
That's how Herb Stratford rolls. Well, here's another guy who rolls for a living here because he's shaking and stirring and everything in between. He is one of the longtime managers here at Rocco's Little Chicago and really the maven behind the mixology movement that has really taken over Rocco's. Put your hands together, everybody, for Mr. Evan Stevens. Evan, welcome to On the Menu Live.
Thank you.
I can't be the only one drinking Oktoberfest on this patio. I mean, this is great stuff, man.
No, you're not the only one drinking Oktoberfest at all. We've had it on tap continuously for about 3 weeks. It's just flying out the door.
I dig it. So, you know, let's talk a little bit about my very first Rocco's libation experience.
All right.
It was a long time ago. And I believe you might have had three beers available.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think Old Style and Schlitz were two of them. And I certainly understand and I appreciate and I celebrate the fact, Evan Stevens, there are people in this community that really, they're from Chicago, they're from Chicagoland, they really have to have that Midwest beer experience, so you give the people what they want.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Old Style, it's easy to drink. It's better than PBR.
How many Old Styles are you selling on a given week here at Rocco's Little Chicago?
Oh, God. It really depends on the week. Some weeks we'll sell 6 or 7 cases.
In a week?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got the old school brew thing down.
Mm-hmm.
Schlitz is still considered a malt liquor?
Nope. Okay. No, it's a real beer now.
It's actually a real beer. All right, so they made some progress.
Yep.
But you got the old school brew thing down here. I think, as we said, when you're coming to experience that Windy City wisdom, you got to come out with some of those old school brews. But I think your craft beer program has gone through the roof since the last time I was
here. Oh, absolutely. Ever since I've been here, I mean, I've been here for 13 years. We've always had a pretty decent craft brew selection. But, yeah, lately, just with the explosion of, you know, local breweries and just breweries throughout the state, we're getting a really wide variety of really tasty, really different beers. You know, like a few years ago, nobody'd heard of a sour ale. But now they're all the rage.
Huge,
you know?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I emceed the Born and Brewed beer battle at Hotel Congress
my
fifth year emceeing that. And it's interesting to see how trends dictate what the brewers are bringing to events like that. And there were sours and surround sound over there.
Oh, absolutely.
Seriously,
yeah.
Are you a sour guy on the beer spectrum?
Yeah, I like a good sour here and there. You know, it's got to be the right kind. But, you know, some of the local breweries, especially like Crooked Tooth, doing a great job.
That Cloud People Sour. I haven't gotten on the sour bus yet, you know, in kind of a widespread way. But the Crooked Tooth Cloud People, it has found favor with me. Now, we talked with Herb Stratford a little bit about how does he decide what films that he's going to have in the lineup for the third annual film fest. He sees 400 films a year.
Mm-hmm.
He can't show 400 films in 3 days here in Tucson. So there's a science that goes with the kind of films that he's dialed up for the event. How do you decide? How do you curate your craft beers menu when you know there's so many different personalities, so many different palates? How do you drill that down?
We just, you know, we got to spread it out. We try to keep a good variety of some staples. You know, you always got to have an IPA. You always got to have something dark. Usually a lager, and then, you know, just fill in the rest.
You an IPA? As hop, I've noticed a lot of the brewers are kind of dialing back their kind of the big, at least on the double IPA side.
Yeah.
It's hard to find a 9.5% ABV IPA in town anymore.
Yeah, it is. I think a lot of people are burning out on that super hopped flavor.
Right.
You're starting to find IPAs are getting a little more nuanced in their palate notes or where they hit. So
Herb, we're talking about nuance and notes. In a conversation about beer. I love that.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to do this 10 years ago. I'm
you
telling
couldn't
you
do
what.
It. No, I'd be run out of town.
Yeah.
Well, I'm run out of town, frankly, fairly regularly. But craft cocktails. At a pizza joint, Evan Stevens.
At a pizza joint.
Help me understand.
We got the bar, so why not?
How long have you had the bar? It's only been like...
It's been 5 years.
Has it been that long?
5 years.
So what do you want your cocktail program to be known for? I mean, what are the kinds of expressions that that you're introducing to your thirsty patrons?
We'd like to serve things that they've had before, but with just a little different twist. You know, like we make a mojito that's on the menu, but it's a basil mojito. Just because, you know, we don't need mint for anything else, so tons of basil.
Yeah, got tons of basil.
So, you know, that makes it easy. Margaritas, you know, we do the margarita competition every year. We just try to make something different. We've done, I think the very first one we had was a spicy basil margarita. That's still popular to this day. I've done like a chocolate bitters margarita. Yeah, just try to play around with it. Just do things that people like, and if they like it, it'll stay on the menu. If they don't like it, we'll take it off, put something new in its place.
How many cocktails on your signature list right now?
Oh, I think including the three different margaritas, there's eight.
Okay, pretty good number.
Yeah.
And you're rotating them around. People are loving them. Now, on the spirit side, what are you grooving on these days? Are you a whiskey guy? Are you a tequila guy?
I'm definitely a bourbon guy.
What are you loving on the bourbon spectrum these days?
Oh, I really like what High West is putting out.
Yeah, Park City, Utah favorite.
Yeah, I'll go for their double rye sometimes. But, yeah, you know, I like to mix it up. If I'm just drinking cheap Jim Beam.
Nothing wrong with that.
Exactly.
You're doing a lot of muddling behind the bar these days. Do you muddle at Rocco's?
We do.
Oh my gosh.
A little too much sometimes.
How much fun. We're talking to Evan Stevens, one of the managers here. You've been here how long?
13 years.
13. What was your first gig here at Rocco's?
I worked in the kitchen. I did prep here.
Okay, so you've done it. So you've done everything.
I've done everything.
And a couple of years ago, I think you actually served. You were in service, so you've done serving, managing, back of the house, front of the house, everything in between.
Yeah, I still serve, so yeah.
You do. What's your favorite pizza on the menu?
My favorite pizza on the menu is probably the Chicago Fire.
Nice. I've had it many times. What are you drinking with the Fire?
If I was going to eat a Fire and sit here, I would probably get like a good lager. You know, just a nice, easy drinking beer.
Beautiful. Evan Stevens, thanks so much for doing some shaking and stirring with us. Your boss is coming up next, so I got to prepare.
All right.
I have to practice because I get so nervous when I interview. Anyway, Evan Stevens, we're in Rocco's Little Chicago. We're
going
to take a quick news break and thank some more sponsors. And when we come back, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Rocco, is here on the other side of this break. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Matt Russell, and you've heard me talk about Tino's Pizza for quite a while. Not only for their consistency and quality ingredients, but simply for the way they've done business here for nearly 35 years. You see, their family business is built on relationships. It's about a great staff with a style of service that keeps the customer at the center of everything they do, while serving up pizzas, calzones, wings, salads, wines, and craft beers, all in a setting that captures the essence of those neighborhood pizza places that we all remember growing up. So whether it's meeting friends and family there for a casual lunch or dinner, swinging by for some food and growlers to go, getting it delivered directly to your door, or having them cater your next special event, just ask yourself, isn't it time for Tino's? Tino's Pizza, open daily at 6610 East Tanqueverty Road, just across the street from Trail Dust Town, or check them out online at tinospizza.com. Hey there, fellow foodies. As you know, I love local. And every week, I love to tell the stories of local restaurants, local food, local drink, and the local folks behind them. And on November the 10th, they will all come together for an afternoon dedicated to the deliciousness of Arizona food and beverage. It's the first annual Arizona Farm and Food Festival on Saturday, November the 10th, from noon to 3 at the Casino del Sol's AVA Amphitheater. In partnership with the Southern Arizona Arts and Cultural Alliance, the Casino del Sol will showcase the talents of a number of Arizona's outstanding chefs, farmers, and purveyors who will create recipes that demonstrate the virtues of locally sourced ingredients. You'll also enjoy live cooking demonstrations, food samplings, hands-on workshops, children's activities, and more. Plus libations from our region's breweries and distilleries for the over 21 crowd, of course. Tickets start at just $35 and are available now at www.saca.org. That's www.saca.org. We'll see you on November the 10th for a celebration of all things local at the Arizona Farm and Food Festival.
Hey, fellow foodies. Welcome back to On the Menu Live. We're having a great time on the patio of Rocco's Little Chicago Pizzeria, celebrating National Pizza Month. We're going to be doing this all month long. And let me just remind you, were it not for our very loyal and loving sponsors, this show would not be possible. I would not have the privilege of coming to you every Saturday at 5 o'clock talking about the spirit that is local on the food and the beverage side without all of our sponsors. So please, I want you to get to know these folks. I want you to thank them because their commitment to local is one that I share, and we all make one big happy family. Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics, Ambiance Pool Service, Boca Tacos and Tequila, Commoner & Co., Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro, Jerry's Cigars, Nancy Russell, our certified personal trainer, Quail Distributing, Tino's Pizza, Tucson Foodie, and Russell Public Communications. A big round of applause for all of our sponsors here today. So much fun. We are back here with the director of Film Fest Tucson, Herb Stratford. Big weekend coming up. Again, make sure everybody knows the website to get their tickets in advance.
Yes, filmfesttucson.com. Get your tickets in advance. Or, of course, we'll always take your ticket money at the door. But nice to know you got your tickets in hand on a busy schedule. Take a little time. Go on the website. Figure out what you want to go see and then pick your films.
Right. Can you give a shout out to your beautiful crew over here?
I
because I know it takes a village, Herb Stratford.
It does, it does. My wife, Carrie Stratford.
Woo! Big fans of the wife.
And my partner, Jen Teufel, also.
I've known both of these for wonderful people for over two decades. Thank you guys. You're going to be needing a vacation around this time next week. But anyway, here's a guy who never takes a vacation, Herb Stratford, because his commitment to service sets the bar as high as is possible. I believe he is celebrating I think 20 years of Rocco's Little Chicago in Southern Arizona. If I did the math right, put your hands together for our good friend Rocco DiGrazia. Has it been 20 years?
20 years the day after Christmas.
Okay, right. So yeah, two decades.
Dang.
How do you do that, man? And still look as good as you?
Silly tenacity, I guess. I don't know. Stick-to-itiveness.
I guess that's what it takes, right?
Yeah.
So 20 years as a small business owner, that is a huge deal. My small business, we've been around 17 years. I never thought I'd see 7 years. You've seen 20 years. So look in the rearview mirror. I know you're always looking ahead, but is there one thing that you know now as a successful small business owner two decades in that you only wish that someone would have whispered in your ear back in 1998?
I think don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah, seriously.
Because the second I was able to be like, well, it's okay if we go out of business, and I stepped back and I was like, okay, my ego can take the hit, then things actually started turning around, and you know, I was able to learn how to actually manage a place and just let it go a little bit, and that actually made all the difference in the world.
And
it really did.
And keeping the artistry that is pizza making and also bridging that with running a business and P&L and things like that.
It's a silly thing. It's a silly juggling act for sure, man.
Right. So take us back to 1998. I mean, this is the time you kind of looked around. I remember when we were out here last time a few years ago celebrating your 15th anniversary.
Right. Yeah.
You said, look, I mean, Luke's had sort of the Italian beef thing down.
Yeah.
You know, that gap didn't need to be filled, although you got a killer beef sandwich here. But there was a paucity of Chicago pizza in Tucson.
There was a pizza gap.
And
that's right.
And you showed up. And look what happened.
Yeah, it was all right. And we seemed to be in the right place at the right time. I gasp when I think what it might take in this town to open a new restaurant. There's a new one.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm blessed that everybody fills my place up as often as they do because the competition's fierce. The quality is better than ever. And, you know, I'm just glad we found the audience at the right time.
Yeah, so. And when it comes to a place that stands as a symbol of the Windy City, talk about finding an audience, because there are a ton of you.
Yeah, who knew?
In the old Pueblo, right? And they have this place that they call home.
I always meet some guys who, or gals who moved recently from Chicago, and they're just glad they came here. So
let's break down Chicago pizza, because there's this. There, you know, talk about a gap. There are gaps between each of the pizza expressions that still call themselves Chicago-inspired.
Exactly.
So you've got, I mean, you really pioneered the deep dish dialogue in a very deep way 20 years ago. Is your deep dish pizza still your number one seller?
It's about, yeah, I think they all sell well, but our thins and our deep dish are neck and neck. Our stuffed pizza, which I truly was the first place in town to serve Chicago style stuffed pizza. That's bringing up the rear, but it's an integral part to our lineup.
I remember you telling me a long time ago when I had my first stuffed pizza here. I was curious as to where it sat on the spectrum of sales, and you said, "Look, you know, to be honest with you, it takes a special someone to roll in here and order a pizza that weighs in excess of 6 pounds."
Right. It's indeed. It takes a special glutton in all of us to enjoy that.
Well, you know, I follow my inner glutton wherever he takes me. But what are the primary differences between stuffed and deep dish? Because I know there's some mythology around town. So let's settle it right here.
The deep dish is the older of the two products. It stems from the late 40s from various purveyors in Chicago. You know, there's some battle over who really came up with it. But Pizzeria Uno is probably the originator.
Right.
And so it's a pan with dough in the bottom of the pan, and then you get your cheese, then you get your toppings, then you get your sauce. That's the original Chicago deep dish. There are some varieties even in Chicago that have cheese on top of the sauce, but it's rare.
Crazy.
If you're what are they thinking? In some places in Chicago, use cornmeal in the crust or what they call egg shade to tint it,
right.
Tint it yellow. In some places, it's very biscuity.
Right.
I know back in the day, some of them used lard in the crust. I don't think that's common any longer, especially for the older places. Or margarine to shorten the crust a lot.
Oh, interesting.
It definitely has a different texture than the stuff, which is comes from the 70s, I think, the early 70s. And that's based more off like a Sicilian Easter pie, which is a two-crust pie, kind of like a timbale, which is...
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
right.
You know what I'm saying? But that has the sauce on top of two crusts with all the toppings in the middle, and it's also baked in a pan, so...
And then the Midwestern Thin.
Yeah, the Midwestern Thin is... It's not really... It's Midwest from the Allegheny Mountains all the way to past the Mississippi, depending on, you know... You still get a thin-crust pizza in St. Louis or you know, Milwaukee. And a lot of them are very similar to the Chicago Thin, you know.
Right.
But the Chicago Thin, yeah, cut in squares, party cut. Sometimes actual cracker crust with no leavening.
Right.
I mean, we do leaven our crust. And I think the hallmark of it is there's no puff of dough like you would see in a New York pizza
or
a Neapolitan pizza.
Exactly.
It's crust and toppings all the way to the edge, baby.
Now, Herb, are you a stuffed guy? You a deep dish guy?
You know, I gotta tell you, I am, and Rocco, I don't know if we've ever talked about this, but I grew up in Chicago. So,
okay, cool.
So I used to have my Chicago deep dish experience came from a place in Evanston called The Spot. And
sure.
We used to go there to eat pizza all the time. And that was kind of where it all began for me. And so, you know, when my parents moved us to Phoenix, I was kind of struggling.
Right.
You know, because it was like, there ain't nothing here. You know, especially in 1979, it was a little bit different environment. Came down here in about 83, and of course, you know, eventually I came, made my way to you. But, you know, it's an acquired thing, and I think you either do it well or you just shouldn't do it.
I'm totally on board with that. Yeah.
So, and you do it well. So.
Well, thanks, man.
Now, that wouldn't be the first time that the words Phoenix and struggle
were
in the same sentence. That didn't get by me.
Yeah.
There's a common struggle, but I digress. So when we're thinking about the personalities, the psychological profiles of the men and the women that come into Rocco's and order, you know, across those three.
Sure.
So who define to me the person who stands up and confidently orders a stuffed pizza here at Rocco's? Who are they?
They're usually Chicagoans,
right?
Or somebody who's seen it on the Travel Channel or something and wants to try it. And frequently, that's the only thing they'll order. But then, like, so we have something like this. This is our classic thin crust. That's just the sausage thin crust pizza. That's your classic Southsider Chicago pizza right there.
Okay.
If somebody comes in and orders, like, a thin sausage with double sausage, there's a 90% chance that they hail from the south side.
And you're a south side native, right?
I am. Yeah, I grew up on thin crust. You know, getting deep dish or stuff was a treat that we would do once in a while. But once or twice a week, maybe three times a week, we'd eat thin crust pizza.
The pride of the south side.
Wow.
Yeah, not gonna grasp you. Very cool. So I'm getting notes. Speaking of notes, I'm getting notes, subtle notes of fennel. Coming off that Midwestern,
definitely.
Is it fennel in the sausage?
Oh yeah! In fact, we get our sausage from Roma Imports, and we have.
Love them.
We have since the day we opened, and even before Lillian owned it, there was a Sicilian family that owned it, and I was like, "I like your sausage, but can you put some more fennel in it?" So they've been blending it for us ever since day one. So
fun. We're talking to Rocco DeGrazia. He is the man who has brought the people what they want for anyone who hails from the Windy City and beyond. He has has built Rocco's Little Chicago Pizzeria for you and your family. We're hanging out here in the patio, which I think is one of the coolest places to enjoy a great pie.
Especially this time of the year. This is just
seriously
gorgeous, man.
Right. All right. So you brought out some things for us to kind of tease us a little bit, and this is a huge tease, Rocco, about kind of a survey of the Rocco's Little Chicago menu. Where would you suggest we start our tasting today?
I would start with the award-winning chicken wings that seem to be popular. A friend of mine, when I opened this restaurant, an ex-Cafe Terracotta compatriot, he's like, well, you're going to sell chicken wings, right? And I was like, no. I was about ready to sell my fryer, having worked a fryer for enough years where I never wanted to see one again. He's like, dude, you got to sell some chicken wings. So I put it on the menu begrudgingly. Then we started winning awards and stuff for it.
It was the wing throwdown at the culinary festival several years ago. You walked away. You brought some hardware home.
Yeah,
that was the first time I'd ever had a Rocco's wing.
Oh, right on.
My family hails from Buffalo, New York.
Sure.
I was eating wings before wings were wings.
One of my employees is from Buffalo, too. He likes them, too.
Okay, cry about the Buffalo Bills in our beers. But anyway, what is it about these wings that has earned so much love?
They're only a slight iteration away from what they still serve at the Anchor Bar. They have your Frank's hot sauce. We use margarine instead of butter because I found it didn't take it tastes exactly the same, and you don't have to buy that much butter a week. You don't have to. Plus that makes our sauce vegan because I'm using liquid margarine, so that we could use it in
there
our hot
it is.
We could use it in our hot sticks, which we slather the wing sauce on bread on our pizza dough and make breadsticks out of it.
Slathers her.
I slather. But in addition to that 1-to-1 ratio that they use at the Anchor Bar, we put some extra chili in there, some ground garlic, some jalapenos.
Almost like a sense of place.
There might be some balsamic vinegar in there.
Hopefully it's from Alfonso. anyway, the crisp, kind of the shell on that wing, you've rendered beautifully.
Yeah, well, we run them through the oven first to get some of the moisture out. That way they cook a little crisper in the fryer. So.
Oh, beautiful. All right, so the wings. Now, Wednesday is a big night of the week here at
Not any longer.
Not any longer!
It is a big night, but not for the reason.
Okay.
We did Wing Wednesday, which was, it maxed out at 50 cents a wing, I think. We started at 10 cents a wing. And we did that for
10 cents.
Could have been, I think it was 16 or 17 years. And it just got too unwieldy for us. Like everybody knows who buys wings these days, wings are not a cast off any longer.
Yeah,
they're actually the most premier portion of the chicken. So it's just not something that you need to discount.
Yeah, no, totally understand. But the wings reign here at Rocco's. Start your eating experience here with these. Legit award-winning wings. Rocco, you've nailed it beautifully. Where else are we going?
I would go. I have a delicious plate of my grandma's marinara and her meatball recipe, so the spaghetti and meatballs.
Okay, so this is an interesting development for people that have never been to Rocco's before. And I actually, looking around the patio, there are two people that I know that have never been to Rocco's before.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened, but they're here. This might be a surprise to them because, obviously, pizza is where the conversation begins, but we're going old school pasta as well.
Right, totally. And I've won awards for our meatballs. It's totally my grandma's recipe, although we put a little prosciutto in there because I seem to have prosciutto scraps from slicing prosciutto, and that gives it a little more richness too. So, and yeah, we cook our sauce about 3.5-4 hours. It's not exactly what everybody's grandma from the East Coast and Midwest did, but it reminds people a lot of home.
As a movie guy, I got to say, one of my favorite scenes in one of my favorite movies is The Godfather when he's teaching Michael how to cook the sauce. I don't know if you remember
right? How to slice the garlic.
Yeah, how to slice it, when you put the balls in. It's just such a great scene because it's so authentic and so honest, and it's just like that's how it's made,
Right.
So I love it.
If you go on Italian Facebook forums and there's countless throwdown fights about marinara sauce. So, this might not be like your grandma's, but it's like my grandma's.
What was your grandma's name?
Marion.
All right, let's just take a moment. Let's just take a moment, a quiet moment, of tribute.
Bless her heart.
Is she still with
Marion? Alas, no.
Alas, Marion has gone on to glory.
She'd be like 98 but, right now.
She lives on.
She lives on through these meatballs. The marinara, beautiful. I've tried doing meatballs at home. Right. For what reason, I have no idea. It's more difficult than you'd probably want to let on. And you'd say, it's just another day at the office. But it's really tough to nail a meatball.
It is, because if you don't put enough, kind of filler and vegetable component into it, you could just have a hockey puck, you know, or something that's like a boiled hamburger, which is definitely not
you know what
you're going for.
That's not the goal for a great meatball. No. Okay, we're going to continue our tasting here on the other side of the break and talk a little bit about these Chicago Public School cookies that you have on the menu.
Yeah.
The cookies are winning awards as well as the wings and the pizza. But anyway, the time has come, Rocco, to see if one of our listeners wants to have a shot at getting a Rocco's Little Chicago Pizzeria a gift card
at last
with our weekly trivia question. Have you thought about something fun we can ask our listeners?
I do. Everybody knows Old Style is the Heilman's Midwestern beer of choice for Chicago, and Old Style has a Big Brother beer, another Heilman product from back in the day.
Much
in the way that Michelob is the deluxe version of Budweiser.
Love this.
Old Style and they may still serve it, has a deluxe version.
Okay.
So let's see if anybody knows what this beer is.
Okay. Old Style has a deluxe version, a Bigger Brother, as Rocco said.
Right.
I know someone in our listening audience knows the answer. If you are the first person to send me a note right now with the answer, you're going to get a Rocco's gift card on the menu live at gmail.com, on the menu live at gmail.com. We're going to take a quick commercial break and thanks to more of our valued sponsors. When we come back, we're going to be diving deep into the heart of the pizza experience, and this is a celebration of National Pizza Month at Rocco's Little Chicago. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey friends, you've already made On the Menu Live your weekend destination for the most delicious hour on radio. Come back Sundays for the most compelling hour on radio. American Warrior Radio with my friend Ben Bueller Garcia, telling the stories of those who protect and inspire us. Sundays from noon to 1, right here on 104.1 KQTH, your weekend destination for great radio. Red Snapper with rice noodle puffs and tomato sauce. Chicharrones with jicama slaw, Thai chili, mint, and basil. Bison meatloaf with kiwi, melon, and mulberry. These are the kinds of specials that rotate regularly at Boca Tacos and Tequila. And you thought Boca was only about tacos? Think again! Fresh off her appearance on the Food Network's hit TV program Chopped, Tucson chef Maria Maison continues to blow our minds back home at Boca with daily specials that showcase the personal expression of her unique Sonoran story. With bold flavors, fresh ingredients, and the kind of kitchen creativity that made her a national media star. I've always loved Boca for gourmet tacos and premium tequilas, and now there's even more to love with their daily lineup of entree specials. Now, where was I? Hot noodle soup with a guajillo chili puree. Pan-seared salmon.
Boca Tacos and Tequila on 4th Avenue, just north of 6th Street. Open Monday through Saturday from 11 to 10 and Sunday 11 to 8. Check out their full menu today at BocaTacos.com.
You are listening to On the Menu Live, and it is Matt Russell, and I am in one of my happy places here with my fellow happy man, director of Film Fest Tucson at filmfesttucson.com. Herb Stratford is here making his way through that that pizza like a champion that I know he is.
Absolutely. This is
like
good
a Chicago
stuff.
Boy.
Like,
man.
I mean, you're right.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm sure there's like a secret handshake or something that you guys have.
You must have missed it.
That's right. Very subtle, very secret. We have begun to taste our way through really a bounty of beauty here. These great award-winning wings. Grandma Marianne's secret marinara recipe that I'm sure you keep under lock and key with those beautiful tender meatballs that are actually, I mean, it's like I looked at them. I'm thinking of the discus competition in the Olympics, right? I mean, these are some serious-sized meatballs.
Yeah.
These little mini things.
They're like bocce balls.
They're like that's what they are. They're bocce balls. But the pizza, as the pièce de résistance, let's break it down, Brother Rocco. What do we got here, man?
Well, we got one of our, like I had mentioned previously, one of our thin crust cut in squares with the sausage from Roma Imports.
With the what?
The sausage.
The sausage. You have to say sausage. And again, sauce right to the edge.
Right,
and
sauce to the edge. Just a hint, just enough crust on the edge to pick it up and with your thumb and forefinger, right? So there you go.
Oh.
And, you know, I think what differentiates us from a lot of the older Chicago restaurants, and I've talked to people about this before, and is that since we developed our recipes for a more modern palate, sometimes you go to Chicago and you get some of these old school restaurants that are on the tourist loop, you know, and it's kind of bland because, you know, it's good tomato products with just like some garlic salt and a shake of oregano in there. But we have, you know, I have fresh, a little fresh basil and fresh garlic and a little pinch of this and that to bring in a little bit flavor for it.
Yeah, you know? We were talking a little bit earlier in a commercial break about this kind of the Marzahn, you know, fall style of brew, this Oktoberfest with Dillinger, and what a natural pairing it is when you're thinking about the elements of the beer, this style with the dough on the pizza. This is a great, when you're talking about pairing potential, this is sort of the right thing.
Yeah, Meritzen's are my favorite. Like, Meritzen's double box are a little heavy, but they go really well with beer, especially when it's colder. Alt beers, if you can get them. Yes. I wish more people would brew alt beers. And some ambers and stuff, depending on what the brewery is and how they're doing it. That's my ideal pizza beer. You know, so, sometimes if the hops are too heavy, they can... It can overwhelm the flavor and stuff.
Yeah, good amber is actually, you can't miss with a good amber. That's definitely one of my favorites, you know.
And you can brew them with enough flavor interest to have a beer aficionado come back for them. It doesn't have to just be the bland amber like a lot of breweries are putting out. But luckily we're in the beer renaissance, so we have beers to choose from that are good.
Thank God. Okay, so the last bite of the night.
And this, of course,
is going to be the TKO. Yep.
This is our kitchen sink, which is kind of the everything deep dish. This one's, you know, getting some national airplay on various Food Network channels.
Yes,
and stuff like that.
Come on, Guy Fieri, Triple D.
Yep, we're Triple D in it with this one. Okay. So same with the wings.
Now, is there a protocol? You know, I picked up that Midwestern thin confidently. Yeah. I'm a little bit more curious.
You're going to eat this with a knife and fork. It's not like a New York slice where you're going to fold it. You know, it's just not going to happen.
Have you ever caught someone in the act thinking they're going to impress their date by picking up a beautiful deep dish pizza, trying to fold it like they do in New York, and then that was...
I haven't caught them, but I'm sure it occasionally happens, but they probably get it on their shirt. And,
yeah, they're wearing it home.
They're wearing it at home.
That's right. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, and then back to Tinder, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Now, pizza sauce, marinara sauce...
Different
sauce altogether. People put marinara on their pizza, call it a pizza sauce. I think that's criminal.
They're out of their minds. The marinara sauce is a cooked sauce. It's a lot more mild and you know, umami of a sauce.
Right.
Whereas the pizza sauce is supposed to be bright and vibrant and just barely cooks on the pizza. You know, same with even Neapolitan pizza. It's supposed to taste like tomatoes. Mm. You know.
Talk about a meal, Herb Stratford.
I know. It's an embarrassment of riches here, Rocco. You're spoiling us.
And the dough, you know, you talked about the dough and sort of the secret behind it.
Two kinds of dough, too. The thin crust is a lot more of a traditional pizza topping where it doesn't have much much fat in it,
right.
So it crisps up a lot more. It doesn't have any sugars, but our deep dish has quite a bit. It's a pretty short crust and has enough sugar to brown it, not make it puff up too much,
right.
But it gives it a little bit more tenderness to
the
sugar.
And that gorgeous little char right on the end, which is what I look for.
Yeah.
Just make sure that's done right.
That's what one of the things I noticed when I started. When I first moved here, is people didn't cook their pizzas here. Like you get these just off white. Things coming out of the oven, and if you don't have a little bit of toast on your cheese, you are not doing it right. Because that's an extra, that's the Maillard reaction, gets a little bit of flavor in it.
Right. It's an insult to the people from the South Side. My goodness, you're running them out of town. You can't come to Rocco's and not finish the experience. You know, you start with a cocktail, you move with a great craft brew, you dive into these wonderful old school, authentic representations of the Windy City, but you gotta have a cookie to kiss. Evening, and you guys are winning awards on these things as well.
I've won awards.
Best of this, best of that, best of this, best of that.
And like you had mentioned earlier, recently we started bringing the Chicago Public School sugar cookies, which is just like a basic, it's a vanilla shortbread, but it's what people who went to public school in Chicago will remember back when they had lunch ladies and actually made food that wasn't, you know, come from an industrial storehouse. It was one of their go-to recipes because it has four ingredients, and you can make it, and it goes right from the mixer onto the sheet pan. So
I think I'm going to have to try that because I haven't had a Chicago Public School cookie in 40 years.
Yeah, my grandma was a school, Grandma Marion was a lunch lady, so she used to bring them home. So I remember them when I was a little kid. So
all right, so come on out here and enjoy. Now your wife is still part of the happening on the baking side.
No, ma'am. my ex-wife is still in town, but she has deigned to let me use our lovely cookie recipe.
Okay, very good.
That she has gifted to
us. I'm glad you all worked that out. And this is the second time that I put my foot in Sea Wing Wednesday and the wife. How about that? Anyway, Rocket Agrazia, thank you for your indulgence.
I love you all.
And helping me, get through two very profoundly embarrassing moments on live radio. But anyway, I love you, brother. You are a proud member of the Tucson Originals. Please tell me you have not canceled your membership.
Oh, no. I'm a charter member.
Charter member of the Tucson Originals. Rocket, thanks so much for everything you do in this community. I absolutely love you. Herb Stratford, FilmFestTucson.com. You're going to need some rest and get ready with your crew to bring some amazingly great world-class films to Tucson.
Looking forward to seeing all of you at the free outdoor F&B movies. Absolutely.
Yeah, there it is. If you missed any part of the show whatsoever, the entire show is going to be up on my website on TheMenuLive.com early next week. In the meantime, it is Matt Russell and Herb Stratford reminding you if it's Saturday at 5, it's on The Menu Live. Cheers! Come join us at Rocco's!